Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Down with the Ship. I'm Jeanette. You guys know me. I'm not going to do the handles this week. Everybody knows me at this point. Okay, so I'm joined as usual by, well, actually tonight we have a special guest host too, but I'm joined as usual by Melissa.
Hey everyone, it's Melissa, Queen of Damaris, but I'll just leave it at that. And then we are joined also by our special guest host, Claire. Hey, Claire.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Claire.
I'll give my handle since I'm not on that often. Hourglass fan. Thanks for having
me. Yay. Well, we're glad that you're here. It's always fun when we get extra people to chat with.
TGIF.
So what did you guys think of this week?
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, I liked it.
It was a pretty good week. I would agree with that.
I think a lot of people, I think it's funny because I think it was really polarizing because of who was on. I think certain fan bases may not have liked it too much and certain fan bases really liked it. So it's just,
I know. Yeah, I saw people complaining and I saw people like, you know, it's funny. On any given day you see people saying the show is great, the show is terrible, it's terrible.
It's true. It makes no difference. Like, and I just, who's on. Yeah.
Yeah, I just said, you know what? I'm like, Days is not any worse or better than it's been the last 2 years. It's just, no. If your favorites are on, you love it that day. And if they're not, and especially if you get through like a little drought or something, then you're like, meh, you know.
It had a lot of different people on this week. Like sometimes it's the pacing and it's so much of a few people, but I thought it was moving, you know, there's a lot of different people.
Yeah, that's so true. It was a little more varied this week.
So who do we wanna, what stories do you guys wanna talk about first?
Oh yeah, because we kind of are doing, okay, let's review what are the stories. There's like, obviously the Abby murder is
and that's
one story
still going on. Yeah.
There's Frank and Stefan.
And the rise of Mustache Lee. I saw somebody put that on there, so I have to say that. Like mustache twirling Lee Chin.
Oh, God. No, you know what I thought was funny? Is that in the SOD article, it said that Dr. Ralph was caught between like a rock and a hard place with Kristen and Lee. And then I had a laugh because they called Lee like Lee Rock. And I was like, oh, he's the rock.
Nope, he's the rock. And I guess Kristen's the hard place.
He's the hard place.
Okay, so we had those things. We had, we still had a little bit more of the whole Eric, Jada, Rafe, Nicole stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. So basically,
and even like Sean a little bit.
Like, and there's a Sean Bell and there's the EJ welcomes Ava.
Oh, God.
What storyline would we, that's fringy with the like Frank and Stefan, but it's also kind of Frank and Stefan slash business, Damira business. And then there's the whole Alex is in town.
Yeah, there's the whole Alex in town. And then there's, yeah,
I think that's like an 80s sitcom title or something.
Alex is in town.
Yeah, right. Like that could have been an 80s sitcom. Like, who's the boss? Alex in town. You know,
like. Yeah, it could be. It could be an 80s sitcom.
A little punchy tonight. Anyway. So do you want to let's start with Alex is in town. I feel like that hasn't gone far yet.
No, it really hasn't. It hasn't gone too far yet. There was just basically, I think that wasn't it just like the day with Chanel and then today?
Yeah,
and then Sunny was like offered Chad a job, but then Alex kind of waltzes in and is like, no, my job. Uncle Vic offered me that job. Because we know there's like some shady business kind of dealings going on.
Yeah, he's definitely asked Alex to do his dirty work. But there was also the scenes, the first day Alex had scenes where he ran into Chanel, he hit on Chanel. And then Allie came up and he kind of realized that Allie and Chanel were a thing. And
so then he hit on both of them.
As opposed to like doing anything. It's like almost like he's totally cool with just like a thruple. But he's just not. Alex is not a committing guy. That's like his stick right now. He's just going to be very much of a playboy.
Yeah.
He's Justin's son. I mean, people are like, oh my God, how is he like this? It's like because he's the son of Justin Kyriakis.
Who used to be like that.
A girl in the bed. That was a total callback to when he first came on the show. So like, I get it. Cause you know, long time viewer, but you know, of course he's going to be, you know, a playboy character. And I think it's a nice contrast to, obviously we can't ignore the fact that he was playing a different character. So it's a different way to play.
I don't. For him to play. I keep seeing some people saying they just think it's just Ben. Like, it's just like Ben. And I don't think so at all. I don't think so. I actually think Rob's done a really good job of not playing him like Ben at all.
I think so too. I feel like the people saying that are just maybe disgruntled.
I think they're just really disgruntled.
They're not objective, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do know that someone that I talked to a lot did say they still really only see Ben, though. So, and that they definitely aren't disgruntled. It was just like that person just said they only see
Ben. And that's going to happen. But I feel like the majority of the people maybe saying it are just kind of like disgruntled Sin fans or something. Not that all of them are. Some of the fans, you know.
Some of the Sin fans are real down with it. And some of the Sin fans are kind of like not. And it'll be interesting to see.
At the end of the day, it's like, well, Rob needs a job. And, you know, now he has a job.
Yeah, I think it's truly that they wanted to let Rob keep his job, and they didn't know how else to do that.
Yeah,
and there's precedent for it. It was a very quick turnaround. It was a much quicker turnaround than it should have been.
So considering that, I think it's really going well.
Yeah, when General Hospital did it with Roger Howarth last year, like a couple years ago or whatever it was, where they switched him from Franco to Austin, it was like 3 months before they brought him back, and people still said that was too early. So it's interesting because Rob was just like not even a whole month before he was back and playing Alex. So, that was pretty much all.
Really, and then him and Sonny have like a little heart to heart today, basically, because Sonny's like annoyed at Victor that he gave Alex the job, but Alex wanted to make sure that he wasn't upset with him and that they're going to be able to have a good working relationship. And Sonny's like basically just kind of trying to embrace it, even though I don't think Sonny's super happy.
Well, and I get it. It's the dynamic. He explained it, though. I thought they did a good job of explaining why he has a problem. It's like you bring Sonny back. Victor wanted him back, did all this stuff to get him back. And then Alex comes in the door, and what he doesn't know is that, you know, Unc Vic, I have to say the one thing that bothered me was every time Alex said Unc Vic and Uncle Unc Victor instead of Uncle. But that he's, you know, did this deal on the side, and now he's going to be side reporting directly to Victor. And then he turns around and he wants to be good with his brother, but he knows he's being shady with his uncle. But I get it. Like, from Sonny's point of view, it's, I'm the younger brother. I always looked up to him. Now we're not kids anymore. And I want my authority to be respected. So
he did say, quote unquote,
Alex said, I won't ever steamroll you ever. And I will defer to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to bond with him. This is what he's saying. So we'll see what happens.
We'll
see if it actually goes like that.
In the meantime, he's double dating with Ms. Sweet Bits and Allie.
Yeah.
Although I don't think he's going to get very far. Like, people seem to think that he's going to actually, like, there's going to be some sort of thruple-y thing. I don't think so, because he's already going to Gabby in, like, the upcoming spoilers.
Yeah,
so
I think they're using him for a nice meal.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically what you said. My mama never said never to turn down an offer at a 5-star meal.
Yeah, there you go.
So I love how she said, like, she's setting the expectation with him. You're getting me a 5-star meal.
Exactly. So who knows? I guess we'll see. So that kind of covers that one. Mm-hmm. And I guess you want to talk about like the different triangles, like the.
Sure.
Eric and Jada, or.
It's like Eric, that. Jada. It's no, sorry. It's Jada, Eric, Rafe, or Nicole Rafe.
Nicole Rafe. Yeah. We'll just talk about. Yeah. That's kind of a.
So Jada had asked Eric out. Last week, I think it was. And he went to like lunch with her.
Yeah, they had like a lunch date.
Mm-hmm. And then Nicole, I think.
Before he did that, they saw the apartment that she's going to be.
Because.
That he's going to lease to her because she had no place to stay that doesn't want to pay Salem Inn bills. So he's like, well, why don't you just stay here? So they're going to be living on the same, you know, in the hallway.
And Nicole saw that.
Yeah, she saw them go up to the bed. She's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
On a date? And, I thought it was funny that Nicole and Chloe, when they were talking about that Chloe is like, what do you think? They're just like banging? Like, right away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So she kind of thought that. And I mean, Rafe and Nicole were on together.
Well, they were. He ditched her cane that she switched to from the crutches, and they went out to dinner. But because of what's going on in the investigation, he got called into Salem PD and she's left there. And now she sees that they're going on a dinner date now because Eric has come
and
from
Eric,
talking to
Michelle. To Belle. He talked to Belle. Belle like kind of encouraged him to go.
Which is probably good because Jada's had a lot of scenes with Sean too. So, you know.
Yeah, and it seems like Jada and Sean, it seems like they're kind of chemistry testing her with both, in my opinion.
So I kind of felt that too. So I was like, I was thinking that today. I was like, oh, well, Belle, of course, is going to be an Eric and Jada shipper because she doesn't want Jada stepping in on her husband.
So we know they both like dogs running and they've both been divorced.
Yes, we found that out too.
Jada's been divorced. I think that's going to come up. I do. I really think that's going to be a thing. I feel like that we're going to see her husband at some point.
Good. Who could she have been married to?
Either she was married to someone we know, or we're going to see him at some point.
Yeah, like they'll bring in a character. So who knows? Who knows? I'm trying to think if there was anything else that really happened with that group.
No. The one, there's also like, oh yeah. I don't think so. I think that was all the triangle. Well, there was a little bit of, I don't know if you're counting, are you counting Briston or are you counting that as part
I wasn't. I consider them more in the Frank and Stefan story.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
But I was thinking there was just a quick little scene where Chanel does tell Allie that Johnny had tried to interfere along with Paulina's help.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Chanel the flowers. And so, of course, Allie wants to know why and, you know, finds out. And so she goes over and she's kind of giving Johnny like the business.
The business about how like I'm your sister. How could you?
Yeah. But she's really juvenile about it. Like she's saying, oh, I'll be okay with it. But as between the two of them, I'm not saying Johnny didn't like, you know, try and make a last ditch effort through Paulina. But the way Allie's attitude has been very childish. Like she picked you. Be like stop already.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. What stuck out to me was how she was trying to put Ava in her place, and I was like, "Ooh, like she's either brave."
I'm not
or
threatening
stupid.
You, but you know, we do have you want to see your grandchild?
Yeah, I was just like, "Ooh," I was like, Allie is not Sammy.
like she's not intimidating enough to pull that off. Like it just didn't. Just
like I couldn't believe that Ava just like kind of took it like she did, but I was like, okay,
that's
maybe
the writing.
Ava just doesn't want to like make waves right now.
Maybe she just decided she wants to make sure she gets to see her grandkid and she's just going to kind of,
Yeah, because she kind of gave, you know, she was giving Ava some attitude.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I can see she sort of, she respected that, look, we have to have a relationship.
Yeah.
That's, you know, quasi decent.
Yeah.
For the sake
exactly. of marriage. But Ava wasn't wrong. Like she did treat poor Trip like crap.
The timing of the dumping was not the way she recalled it, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, but it was just funny though the way she said he literally died for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I was like, she's not wrong there. He like literally jumped out of a window for her.
Yeah, he literally jumped out of a window for
and
her.
And then she dumped, but it was kind of Trip too that just didn't want to be with Allie because he knew Allie wasn't being genuine.
Yeah, he didn't want to be with Allie because Allie wasn't telling him that she wanted Chanel or him. Like, she was like, she was kind of like not really playing the card.
It was kind of like, oh, you saved my life. I love you. So I'll be with you. Yeah.
Since we're in this part of the conversation, I feel like we can segue into another story. And I feel like we can segue into another whole thing, which is the scenes between Johnny and Ava.
Oh my God.
the doot doot music was on when the towel dropped.
She was
the rope dropped and the towel dropped.
Johnny knocks on the door of Ava's. Well,
he's looking for Chad
because Chad's room. It's Chad's old room.
No, he doesn't know that Chad's
looking for shampoo.
He's looking for shampoo,
and he knocks on the door. So he knocks on the door, and of course, he finally just walks in. And as he walks in on Ava, basically dancing and drops her towel.
Her towel drops.
It was very interesting scene. I think a lot of people have very mixed feelings about the idea of a Johnny and Ava pairing. I think it's coming.
I have to say that the whole, like, robe, towel, and then the later on conversation and then him thinking about it. You
it
know,
wasn't
like
the
there,
worst.
There was a little bit of like there was a little chemistry there when they were sitting in, you know what I mean? Whatever, you know.
I don't care. Like, I'll be honest, I actually kind of thought they were okay. Like, I thought they were all right.
Look, they're both old enough. It's like exactly. Lindsay said on the podcast, they're old enough to drink, right?
Exactly.
So what does it matter?
And honestly, there have been plenty, and that we've said this before, but there have been plenty of pairings where the woman was like, was like late 50 or like early to mid 50s, and the woman was 20. So what difference does it make if the woman is the older? Is that much? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
So
it's patriarchal misogyny, you know, brainwashing of people that it's okay one way and not the other.
And so so Johnny and Ava, they had this little moment, and then Johnny thought back on it later, even like he even had like a flashback. His towel drops
too. She had a robe and she had her AirPods on, which is why she didn't hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lost the towel.
Yeah.
So they both got a little peep show of each other.
And then, like I said, he actually flashes back to the peep show even. Like,
yes.
It was
she got the front and she got the back.
However they like it, Claire.
Hey.
There was definitely hints that there was going to maybe be something there. And there is, when we talk about spoilers, we'll go into that too.
There's some stuff going on. All right. So we haven't then talked about Frank and Stefan.
We haven't talked about the Abby story.
So whichever one you want to hit
up first.
We also
had the Ava. Do you want to talk about like the Ava EJ stuff?
That kind of relates to Frank and Stefan slash Tamara business.
Before we head then we'll head into that. Because there was the whole scenes where basically EJ invited Ava to stay there, which is how she ended up seeing Johnny naked.
Yes. Gwen was searching for Ava because she wants Ava to keep her mouth shut about the little favor.
And then EJ kind of overheard it a little bit.
Yeah, because he overheard them say, your secret's safe with me. So then they had to come up with this whole other secret, which is that Gwen is still pining after Xander. And that Sarah was, you know, on her way to the big house type of thing. And then EJ has to like break the news to her. But Gwen, they knew this stuff already.
All she was trying to do was cover for her.
Yeah. So they kind of made up this whole thing. And then he's like, he has to like break it to her that like, no, that, you know, she had an alibi. And then, of course, EJ is not.
He doesn't believe that Ava actually married Jake either. But he's letting her live there.
They're kind of doing that whole thing where they're like keeping an eye on each other, keeping their enemies closer.
For sure.
And Belle came with the shares and he's like, oh, I'll be happy to put them in the safe. She's like, no, boyfriend, I'll be keeping those on my person.
She's like, no, I'll keep those with me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. So we did have all that. That was kind of like a funny scene pairing of like Gwen, Ava and EJ, because then it was like EJ, you know, Gwen's like, we've met before, and he's like, we have, like,
yeah, that was funny. That was the only thing that I thought was funny. He didn't even remember. And then he, like, when he did remember, he still was kind of snide about it. Like,
yeah, he was
EJ about it.
He was kind of like snotty to her.
Snooty EJ in his workout gear, which is the first time we've, I think, seen him in
not a suit.
Yeah.
Workout. Probably for this EJ. Stuff. I remember when they used to have James Scott in like workout gear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he used to run. Remember they used to have them like where they'd be running in the park? Certain characters would be Eric, Brady, EJ. Some of them would like run in the park. John.
Xander runs in Horton Town Square.
Yes. But I haven't seen anybody run other than Xander. I haven't seen people run in a long time. Maybe Eric still.
Xander's gone jogging in the Horton Town Square. And Eric has been seen like wearing headphones looking like he'd been jogging.
Okay.
But he wasn't actually jogging.
But it used to be. I remember like at a certain point in time that was like people would run into each other because they were on a jog or whatnot.
They were on a jog, yeah.
I remember John and Brady taking a jog together.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between Eric and Xander is that Eric wears the sleeveless shirt and Xander takes us off halfway through and tucks it and runs shirtless when he gets sweaty. There you go.
Just because they want to make sure that they show Xander shirtless as much as possible.
As much as possible, you know. Maybe since that's the PSA.
Paul's not allowed
to
have any freaking clothes.
They should do that. That's going to be the PSA to get people to Peacock.
It's to show Paul. Right. Is
well,
Paul
they did
shirtless.
Do that, what, a few years ago, that there's a lot of chisel and they had shots of all the different guys. And of course, Xander in a towel. Though I have to say that, look, I like, you know, I appreciate. However, he at least he's getting different colored towels now.
He's getting different colored towels. Different he's colors. Actually had shirts on lately a lot.
Well, that's
he
good.
Had new shirts, not just the new old shirts. He's gotten some new shirts. Yeah, so, you know, there is some,
it's
like every few years, they spend some money on his on whatever they call his wardrobe, his towels.
His
you know.
Towels and his new shirts and a priest costume.
His five shirts. He only has five shirts, maybe.
Oh my gosh, that's
we need
funny.
A GoFundMe for scenery and for clothing for Xander.
There
yes,
you go.
Well,
there you go. So that kind of like we can segue a little bit more into the Frankenstefan, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's what I was going to say. So then we also like, of course, we had Frankenstefan. Everybody knows what Frankenstefan is, right? Like, so basically,
yeah, Stefan has Jake's heart. They did the transplant. He has the heart.
Lee was kind of pissy about that, so
it's working. And then Lee shows up and pays a visit to Rolf, and basically because Lee didn't know, well, he did know because he's seen it on the surveillance, he was not told of this before it happened. So
he's been funding it.
And he told him, he said, I had all kinds of surveillance put in here while you were in prison. And he's like, because Rolf's like, what do you mean? And he's like, I saw the whole thing, you know? So he gave him and it was funny because he had that good line where Rolf's like, oh, next time I'll keep you in the loop. And he's basically like, I am the loop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to see this like shadier Lee.
I'm telling you, your shady prediction is getting shadier as time goes on.
I think he's actually gonna even go to the level of creepy, but we'll see. He was definitely creepy with the whole Gabby stuff.
I think he fell into it because he didn't fund it directly. Like, he didn't initiate it. He came across it, discovered the money being spent, and then said, I want to know more about
this.
And now he's manipulating it to his
needs. Yeah. So he doesn't want him to wake Stefan up right away. He's like, I need him on ice a little longer.
Basically, he wants Gabby to like be secure with him.
Yeah, he wants to solidify his relationship with Gabby. And then on the other hand, Rolf has Kristen, who for whatever reason, because they really haven't said her reasoning, she wants him woken up right away.
She wants him to be like,
she hasn't come out and said that it has anything to do other than like, okay, maybe she doesn't want anything to jeopardize the fact that now she has the position she wants at Basic Black, you know, to mess with Brady and Chloe. So I don't really know, but she's got her own reasons that she wants him awake. And so she was putting pressure on Rolf to wake him up.
But he did say when Rolf was questioned, he's like, okay, and you know, I agree with you, like that Kristen lady, she, you know,
he's like, I'm a little scared of her.
Yeah, she scares me. Scary lady.
She's scary. So that was part of it all. Of
I just felt like it was really, how do you think Gabby's, I mean, I feel like this is going to be, and I saw somebody say this, I had a Jabriella Stabby fan say this to me, that they feel like this is a little bit of a repeat of what just happened with Xander and Sarah, because there's going to be like this whole like she's going to be building this relationship with Lee, but Lee really knows that Stefan's been alive the whole time.
Yeah,
and there's
gonna, that's a common soap trope,
but it definitely feels like there's a like I think that's probably how it's going to go. Like Gabby's going to start having feelings for Lee, and Lee's going to be hiding the fact that Stefan's alive.
That's Stefan. Well, no, because I thought they are going to wake up Stefan soon.
So according to, there's a spoiler that Stefan actually even gets out and tries to go to Gabby.
And tries to get back to Gabby.
But something happens that doesn't let him get there.
Yeah. So I don't know if necessarily he'll be hiding that Stefan's alive. He might be hiding what he does to Stefan in order to step, you know, because we've all hypothesized. Now, this is just a hypothesis at this point and rumors that they do something to Stefan so that he doesn't remember his time with Gabby, or he only remembers Chloe, or he's in love with Chloe, you know, that's kind of the rumors floating around. So if that's the case, then that's what I think Lee would be hiding.
Yeah. Well, so I've also heard rumors that they're going to convince her it's Jake.
I don't know if that's true or not. Like, right. She's going to so not think it's Stefan.
See, yeah. Obviously, Lee's going to be hiding something. We know that. We know he's shady. Yes. We know he's going to be hiding something from her. And then I guess as a fringe part of that story would be the Briston stuff too, where
Briston bro-y.
Yeah, Kristen comes over to find Brady and Chloe, basically to give them a hard time. Mm-hmm. And she makes Chloe leave, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was awesome for me. She made Chloe leave. That's why Chloe goes and ends up meeting up with Nicole.
Yep.
Which actually was great too, because I actually enjoyed Chloe and Nicole's scenes together. Mm-hmm. But so she pretty much, you know, wants to see Rachel. She's like, you need to bring her back from California. And he's like, oh, she's having a good time. Like, F that noise, bring her back. So he agrees that he's going to bring her back. And then he kind of offers her, you know, shared custody if she would resign from Basic Black. And she's like, no, take your deal and shove it. She's going to go after custody on her own. And she's keeping her job. So that's kind of where that. What were your thoughts on like Brady doing that? It's funny because, oh, he thinks Kristen's this terrible person, but he's more than happy to then just share the custody.
It's funny because I saw someone actually say that they thought, well, the fact that she wouldn't take that deal proves she doesn't care about Rachel. But I thought, no, the fact that Brady was going to give
Rachel saw more people to saying her, that. Yeah.
Like, proves that he doesn't care about Rachel. Like, he was using his daughter as a bargaining chip for someone that he supposedly thinks is crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
To save
crazy
Chloe?
And this terrible person.
So like, save what Chloe kind of being... father does that make Brady?
Yeah, I saw a lot of people saying that.
In the past, Brady has been.
I know.
I saw infamously bad father.
Because Kristen even was like, I can't believe you're using our daughter as leverage. And it's not like she was just like, screw that, it's not worth it. She was like, no, I'm going to keep my job and get custody, you know? Mm-hmm.
I did see a couple people saying like, oh, well, clearly Kristen doesn't care because she had just had the opportunity for split custody and she.
No, she articulated why. She's I don't need your crappy deal because my stuff, everything I've done to date has been, you know, wiped off by the governor. So I've got clean slate. So I'm going to show I've got some dough coming in this job. And, you know,
I'm going to try to get my kid.
And I guess the question is, you know, doesn't he have a record of sorts, you know?
Yeah,
I'm sure he does.
Not criminal, but, you know, he's done some bad stuff.
Well, mm-hmm. Whatever happened when he buried Vivian in the circle?
Well, you know, it's been a while.
That
you just have to look at that. You just have to look at that and go, that was too long ago for anybody to care. Because
I know it is true. But some people hold on to things for a super long time. I mean, I still got people throwing stuff against that Kristen did back in the 90s against me. I'm like, I feel
don't
like
have that bad, but I get people throwing Xander. I get people throwing Xander shot Marlena in my face.
Like, I feel
five,
like there's
6 years later.
Like there's
it's
a
like,
statute
on,
of limitations. Don't you feel like there's kind of a statute of limitations with soap characters? Like whatever they've done 25, 30 years ago, like, okay, it's beyond the statute of limitations.
Like I said, the one I always get for Xander is like, well, Xander shot Marlena. It's like, yeah, he did. Like, can we let it go? It's done.
That one might be approaching the statute of limitations.
There's definitely there's a soap opera statute of limitations on things like that, even if it doesn't exist in the real world.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like, we would never want those people, like, we would never want someone that shot somebody on their wedding day, like, freed or raped a priest or, you know, like... I'm sorry, I had to throw it out there, but
it's true.
Or the priest, or
everybody's
this...
done. If we did the list of what each, you know, now, you know, saintly character has done, everybody, look, it's a town full of hypocrites, and it's a soap, and we love it. So, like, you know, go with the flow, people.
Go with the flow. All right, so that's all that happened with them. I'm trying to think. I think we can kind of move on to the who killed
Abby.
There
was actually just a few scenes with like Gabby and Lee where Gabby like just said she wanted to keep trying with him. Like she was, she wanted to
and
give it a try.
She had scenes with Rafe too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting because they haven't had sibling scenes in a long time.
Yeah, they do.
I keep seeing the people saying on Twitter, Rafe's only relevant with Gabby. Yeah. So.
They actually have a good rapport.
They do.
No matter what
I
think about his other scenes, I think they have a good dynamic.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't disagree with that. They do. They have a good dynamic. I think that Galen and Camilla get along because they do. They seem to have a really good, like...
Yeah, they seem to have a good brother-sister, on-screen brother-sister dynamic. So they just had scenes where he was kind of, like, wanting... He was being the big brother about her love mm-hmm. life with Lee and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It was nothing that monumental, yeah. but it was good. It was just nice.
And then, as I remember, like I said, she ended up telling Lee that she was going to give him a chance, basically. She wanted to take it further or whatever. Well, you know?
And we know the sex is good because she told Rafe that.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd tell my brother that. I gotta be honest.
Well, apparently he didn't want her telling him.
Yeah, either. I would. It's not something I do. No, Jeanette, TMI, you don't have siblings. Gabs.
Right? I have no siblings, so I can't answer.
Claire, do you have siblings? Right?
I have five.
Yeah, would you tell your brother?
Hell no.
Maybe your sister. Maybe a sister. I don't have a sister.
No, I would tell a girlfriend before I would tell a sibling. You know what I mean? Like, there's.
I will honestly say, I think my mother-in-law easily would have told both of her sisters. I mean, she just died, but like, she would have told both of her sisters.
I feel like sisters. I feel like that's something you might tell your sister, but not like.
I don't have any siblings, so I have no answer.
I would never talk about my sex life.
That's true. Yeah, you wouldn't tell a sister wouldn't. Tell a brother, but a sister might tell a sister in like a maybe not a
the sex is great type situation, right, but
are your needs being met?
I feel like you might have brother conversations about sex and sister, but I like I said, just as someone who has a brother, an older brother,
Not happening. No, that conversation's not happening.
No, never.
My husband would never have that conversation with either of his sisters. I will say
that's what I mean. Yeah, like would he talk about your sex? It's like no.
Well, you know, people talk about what they talk about, but yeah.
I guess so. Whole question for Twitter.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm not putting that on Twitter.
That actually is a pretty good.
Would you tell your brother or sister about this? Like
about your sex life.
About your sex life. No.
Your opposite gender sibling, right? Mm-hmm. I guess so. Because I think it's different with the same gender sibling. Anyway. Yeah. So now I think we can move on to the Abby, right? The
who killed Abby. So we resumed more of the who killed Abby story. We had a lot of Chad with Thomas. And we had, as part of that story, we had Chad with Thomas and we had Leo getting found out as the Tooth Fairy and we had Xander and Sarah.
Yep.
I think those were really the parts. And also we had a little bit of like Gwen and Kristen kind of, but I wasn't sure if Gwen and Kristen applies to the Stefan or the.
It kind of. Liz, a little bit the who killed Abby because she rushes over there. She's looking for Ava. Yeah. Because it's Ava and Jake's garage apartment.
Apparently Kristen is now living.
And Kristen's living there. And she basically rushes over. She's knocking on the door. Kristen lets her in. And then, of course, Kristen's on to her like, well, what do you need to see Ava about so urgently? And she's like, well, you know, I wanted to express my condolences. And Kristen's not buying that at all.
No, she's just like, what'd you do? Kind of thing.
She's like, she's kind of like, oh, it was very urgent. You had a lot of urgency in this condolence call. And so basically, Kristen kind of reminds her that she got her out of prison and that mm-hmm. she would be calling on her for a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that with them.
I think that's the one situation where Kristen has leverage, because if you look at the two things you just said, which is Brady offered her a crappy deal, and she's like, no, I'm not taking that crappy deal. And EJ's like, oh, you can live in the mansion if you give me your shares. Like, screw that, dude. So that's why mm-hmm. I'm in Jake's garage.
Yeah.
Yep.
So good for her that she has somebody she has leverage over, especially.
Yeah, she has leverage over someone. Exactly. I had a feeling that's why she got Gwen out in the first place.
It was for a favor of some sort.
Yeah,
I think
just
it is
like,
much so.
You know.
Right. Why take her in the Rogues Gallery exit unless she's really going to use her? Because otherwise, mm-hmm. why would you take? She's not her BFF.
No. But it's kind of like we talked about, I don't know if it was last week or the week before or whatever, that she needed a new lackey.
Because she doesn't have Xander anymore. Xander was always her lackey.
Xander
doesn't have him anymore. He is not going to be her lackey.
He's
not after
taking
everything
that job.
Everything they've gone through, no way. So
that was kind of always why I thought she took Gwen.
Mm-hmm. So then we had that. Like, I thought that was, like, I was trying to figure out where that would fit in with the things. But then we also had, like I said, so we had Xander and Sarah, who proceeded from last week. They were going to go to Statesville. They were going to, like, try to break into Statesville
and see if they could find anything about Gwen getting out of prison the night of Abby's murder, or being missing, or something, you know, something that might help them figure out how she, like, prove that Sarah didn't do it and Abby, or and Gwen might have. So they went to the prison, and Xander obviously posed as an Irish priest. Sarah did have a very funny line. She has a very funny
grandfather's first name, though, or great Callum. Callum. He used Callum. A Scottish first name with an Irish last name. Callum, Father Callum O'Brien.
Yes, but he, Sarah did have a funny line where she called him the Lucky Charms leprechaun. She says, "Oh my God, I'm breaking into prison with the Lucky Charms leprechaun," because he was continuing.
He is magically delicious, though. I will say, I'm sure he is.
Well, you know, anyway, he walked in, got the warden's attention for a second. Sarah called in some sort of like fake prisoner altercation. So the warden left him in the office with her computer. And then Sarah came into the room and she plugged in the flash drive. And then stupidly, because the two of them are total idiots, they start making out while they're downloading the files. Sarah starts going, "Oh, you're so hot in that priest costume." And next thing you know,
he's magically delicious.
Exactly.
I mean, I can't completely blame Sarah.
She's not Sarah. She's Mary Frances, don't you know?
No. Well, so anyway, so you can't completely blame Sarah because he is hot in the priest costume. There's no question of that. So they get caught kissing by the warden. The warden walks in on them kissing, and he basically is like, "This is Mary Frances. She runs our something. She like runs our program." And he's like, "She has issues or something like that."
Yeah,
and it's like ridiculous because the entire time Sarah's like reaching behind trying to get the drive out. So she like reaches behind, gets the drive out, and then they like quickly escape as the warden is starting to go, "I think I recognize you." They like run out of the room. Those scenes were pretty funny. But I do have to say, as much as I love Xander and Sarah, I did think it was pretty ridiculous that they can't keep their hands off each other long enough to
I don't think they would have really been like
through.
You're breaking into the warden's office basically and stealing files. I don't think you'd like, that's what you're doing, like, bother?
Yeah. "Babe, you're really hot. Like, as soon as we get out of here, I'm jumping you in the car." I would
buy that criminal activity might turn Xander on. I don't know about Sarah though.
But hey, the fact that the way it was written, she's just like, "You look so good in that collar." The scene was funny, but even I was like, "Okay, guys, like, no."
That's funny.
So then they went back to their room and they decided that they were going to try to, like, they went through the computer stuff. And they ended up finding out that Ava had visited Gwen the day before the murder and after the murder.
Yes. And there were two phone calls.
And there were two phone calls, one to Gwen, one to Leo Stark, and one to Ava.
Yeah.
And so they're thinking that Ava might be the one that broke.
That knows something.
That knows something. And then they also find out that Gwen was missing from bed check for two hours. She was missing from bed check, and then they found her 2 hours later, which made her out in the window that Abby was killed.
Yeah.
Specifically, made her unaccounted for in the window that Abby was killed. So all of that. So they start to think Ava did it, but they're sitting there postulating, like, Xander's going to go frisk Ava, basically. He thinks he can get... And Sarah's like, "Wait a second. We need to be smarter about this," because that's what she does traditionally. Xander's the gung-ho, go do it. And Sarah's the, "Let's hold on. Let's figure this out." So they end up talking about what they're going to do. And then instead of going to find Ava, they end up having sex
in bed. Yeah,
but they also had some really good conversations in those scenes where they talked about how Xander felt like when Sarah was gone, and also like why Sarah does not blame him for Gwen, because she understands he was really hurt, because a lot of people felt like Sarah should have been angrier about Gwen and she really wasn't. But I kind of understood that because, like, the way they talked about it in those scenes, it was very obvious, like, why. You know what I mean? She felt like she knew he was really hurt and it happened. So.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. So they basically ended up in bed. They didn't go get Ava, but then they're going to. Like, they decide they're going to go talk to Ava soon.
Right. They're going to try and flip her.
They're going to try and flip Ava. So they, yeah, so that's where their stuff left off. And then,
I think we still have, like, the Chad.
And then, I was going to say, and then there was also, yeah, in that story, there was also the Chad, Thomas.
Leo. Brady, Chloe. Brady, Chloe, Sean, Rafe. There was, like, a lot of people that kind of all came together at the end.
Yeah.
I think it starts with post-hangover Chad. And Sunny talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically Chad feels bad because he was, you know, drunk and he kind of yelled at Thomas, and, you know, obviously they're having some rocky times due to Abigail's death. So he goes home to try to, like, you know, he goes home, Jennifer's there,
and Thomas, Jen tells him that like Thomas thought he was dead,
yeah,
because he never came
home.
So he wants to, like, make it up to Thomas, mm-hmm, and he takes him for frozen yogurt in the square.
There were some really cute scenes that day with him and Thomas when he was, like, talking to him about how they miss Abby together and stuff. It was really sweet.
Those were some really sweet scenes. They both were so good. Again, because we were recognizing them last week, too.
Yeah, they were both really good. And then they, so they went to go have the frozen yogurt, and Thomas was going on about having a loose tooth.
Yeah, his tooth comes out.
And then he, when his tooth comes out, it kind of comes out that he,
The Tooth Fairy's a man.
And the Tooth Fairy's a man, and that he met the Tooth Fairy. And down he tells the Tooth Fairy is Leo.
He sees points. Leo in the square, and he's like, he's right there.
Here's the Tooth Fairy. And it's like, Chad's like,
what? That man was in our basement the day Abby died. So he, of course, goes, grabs Leo, hauls him down to the police station, mm-hmm, and tells Jada and Sean everything. And they call, mm-hmm, Rafe. That's why Rafe leaves his dinner with Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And then simultaneously, like, Clyde and Nancy were supposed to have dinner with Brady and Chloe. Clyde gets there first, sees Leo. Leo basically throws a drink in his face and runs, mm-hmm, off. So Nancy gets there when Clyde's, like, cleaning up his face. And then Chloe and Brady get there shortly after. And they basically all put it together.
That Leo is the jewel thief guy.
Because of the lookbook and his suit.
And because of the lookbook, because Leo had went to Brady and Chloe for a job.
I wanted to see those pictures so bad.
They must have. We only saw a few pages. At least they made a few pages.
I know.
So I call it the floral print suit giveaway. That's what that suit was.
Yes.
Yeah, so he has his lookbook. And so, of course, they're able to identify him. So at the end, Leo's basically trying to say, you can't hold me here. And then, of course, in marches Clyde. And with the whole, like, he's the one that sold me Abby's.
Mm-hmm. We need a corroborating witness.
Yeah.
Until we don't have a corroborating witness, so we've got to let him go. Crancy.
Yeah.
Enter Crancy, and then basically
end of the show.
And Clyde and Nancy both told each other they loved each other. Which I thought was...
Yeah, I mean, he's living with her, and I mean, it's not like, weird, I'm madly in love with you. It's like, I like you a lot. Like, I think it's like, I like you a lot. I don't know. Burgeoning love? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just was
I'm grateful you're letting me live here and keeping me out of prison, love.
Yeah, I mean, it was very... There's a lot of people that don't like Clyde and Nancy, so...
Well, because of the background.
Of Jordan.
And it begs the same question. Has it reached the statute of limitations? It wasn't even something that ever happened on air. Honestly,
that one creeps me out too much.
That one is, even though it happened a long time ago, it was only revealed relatively recently in the show.
It's gross.
I guess it's not as recent as you think, though. I feel like that was like when Jordan was first on the show.
But there's still, like, to me, there are a few things that people don't like. That is the top thing that nobody's ever gonna forgive. Like molestation
Child molestation
is not like Uncle Eric. That's all I gotta say. Uncle Eric Brady. Not this Brady. Uncle Eric, Sean Brady, Brady Fish Market, Brady Pub. yeah. level for the newer listeners.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think my only part of me that kind of like does kind of like let it go or forget about it a little is it was never actually a storyline.
Mm-hmm. It was just
never something that we saw. It was something that came up, but it was never something we actually lived through as a storyline and the view. You know what I mean?
So right. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
part of me sometimes that forgets about it, to be honest.
Yeah, and maybe that's the goal, or maybe they think that like maybe Jordan made it up because she was a little crazy. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing, because then the thing is they totally like retconned her, you know.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of
now if they were smart, Jeanette, they would just say, "Oh, she was cray cray. She made that up. That never happened."
Tammy Sue, going off the rails.
Yeah, because you know she was a totally different Jordan from right. the beginning to the end. So who knows? Anyway, mm-hmm. but I get the whole, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if he really molested a child, it's a little kind of, it's pushing it, so.
Well, that's why I think that they should go back and just use the fact that they ruined Jordan as a character anyway.
Yeah, that they kind of made her crazy anyway, so they might as well just make her even more crazy and say, no, that didn't actually happen.
Yeah, you know. But anyway, so I think that that pretty much is it, and we're ready to get into our segments.
Yep, we were ready to get in our segments. I think that was the whole day, the whole week.
I had a hard time choosing stuff this week.
I couldn't really choose stuff.
I had a really hard time. There Mostly was a lot of stuff I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was things I thought of to choose that I thought you guys might choose.
I have backups.
I know.
I don't even have backups. I don't even have anything chosen, so this is going to be fun.
And so I don't know.
So why don't you two go first?
Why don't we have Claire... go first as our guest for her performer of the week.
Oh, yay. Yeah, I liked going first for this one. My performer of the week is Carrie Christopher, who plays
Thomas.
I love that kid. You've seen my tweets, like every, yeah. like just from the Tooth Fairy.
Really
he's
really
good.
Every scene he's in with Billy, like he's just.
He's so
he's
good.
Really good. Like he is just so mm-hmm. in the, like he goes toe to toe. That's what I wrote.
Yep.
He goes
toe to toe. I picked Carrie last week.
Yeah.
And then he made me melt when he did his little video. If anybody hasn't seen it already, Billy did a give a shout out to Carrie. And then Carrie did a little video response where he's like, Billy, I love working with you. Aww. And you just make me better. And thanks to everybody who watches. He's very cute.
He's adorable. Yeah,
he's really cute. I thought about him too, but I know we kind of like joint picked Billy and Carrie last week.
And then I thought about Billy again, and I was like, I have no idea. That's why I don't know who to pick.
I was like really stretching, and it's not that nobody was. I mean, everybody was pretty good. Obviously, standout emotional scenes were Billy and Carrie, but I went ahead and went with. I had two on my list, but I think I'm going to go with actually the second one on my list. I'm going to give it to Dr. Rolf Richard Wharton because I think he's done a good job taking over the role.
He really has. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I like him.
I like him. I think he's done a great job taking over the role. And
it's a hard role to take because people really see William. And I don't think William's not capable of doing it. So they had to have Rolf.
And I don't think
a lot of people realize that or think that.
I feel like, and not anything against William, because I think he was great too, but I think with this new guy, he had a few conversations that made Rolf like less cartoony than he always mm-hmm. is, you know, when he was mm-hmm. talking about what he feels about, like, I just get a little scared of Kristen or this or that, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I thought he was doing a great job taking over such a funny, weird, quirky role like Dr. Mm-hmm. Rolf. So that's
maybe Rolf's grown in jail. I mean, he grew his little braid yeah. that he keeps pulling forward in every scene. I love it.
I know. I love it. There's a picture in Soap Opera Digest of him in like a suit. I don't think we've ever seen him outside of his lab coat.
I don't think we have ever seen him outside of his lab coat. It's interesting to see like what they're going to do with this new role.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I've seen some pretty mixed thoughts on the new Rolf, but I like him. I think he's really good. So.
I think so too. I think so. So did you pick a performer of the week? You got somebody?
No. Not really.
Well, we could just go with R2.
I had some varying different interesting things. Like I actually like I don't know. I mean I was thinking I actually thought of Billy again and that's the problem. Like, I really thought of Billy again, but we kind of picked Billy last week. I also kind of thought of Zach a little bit, because he had some pretty good scenes with Billy too.
Yeah,
Zach Tinker did. So those were really my thoughts. Okay. I really hadn't come up with exactly who it was going to be yet, but that would be my thoughts. One. Mostly because I didn't want to pick Billy again, because I thought that Billy was very standout, but I also picked him last week, so it's kind of
gotcha.
You know.
All right. So then, what about Claire? Your scene of the week.
Oh. So it's going to tie to my actor of the week. The Thomas Chad scenes in the living room, especially, like where they have that heart to heart and, you know, talk to each other about what's going on.
I had actually also thought of those as well. So,
yeah, I just because they were I really cute. Those, and I'll just focus on them because I just thought, I don't know. I thought there was a lot of I just felt like they covered all the different things about their relationship and where they were, and it was what was written to, like, their acting and what they were talking about.
They wrote some good beats. Yeah,
you know, because and especially maybe it's more meaningful because a lot of times kids in the show are, you know, taken to another room, so to have them actually talk about real things and have it be like a real conversation was
with Thomas, and how
they did it. So
yeah, I think so. I would agree.
And the Horton Town Square stuff was good too. So
Did you have scenes of the week, Jeanette, or did you kind of have the same?
Pretty much the only like one I had really thought of was also the same thing scene that Claire just said. So we'll just go with that. So what did you have?
What did I have? You're gonna not like mine. But this scene cracked me up. It made me laugh so much.
And I hated those scenes so much. I thought those scenes were terrible. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, do you even know what I'm going to pick?
I do. Go ahead.
It was when Kristen was imitating Gwen. It cracked me up when she was like, did the whole British voice.
It was funny. When Kristen imitated Gwen, that part was funny. I don't know what it is. I just can't, like, and I said this to Claire the other day, like, I want to like her because I think that Emily's a really great actress, but I don't enjoy her in scenes with Ava. I don't enjoy her in scenes with EJ. I don't enjoy her in scenes with Kristen. Like, it's just, it's my personal preference.
Don't enjoy her. No, I get it.
I just don't like the character. And I've tried so hard because I do think Emily is so talented.
Yeah.
It's just there's something about that character that just literally she makes my skin crawl. Like, I don't want to see her.
For me, now that
I get why you enjoyed it, Melissa, because it's the reverse. It's not about Gwen. It's about Kristen. So you want to talk about that?
It was super funny. Yeah.
Well, it was just, you know what it was? To talk about Kristen, but also the only thing I'm saying about Gwen is that now that she's not in Xander's orbit and she's mixing it up with a lot of people, I do enjoy her a lot more. But yeah, it was Kristen just doing the whole British voice. But part of it was too, was Gwen just like being all sour faced at her. You know?
She was. I can see objectively where those scenes are funny. It's just so weird because, like, I literally just said that to someone. I can't remember if it was Claire or Cindy.
Did you like those scenes, Claire?
Sorry.
Did you like those scenes or no?
I did. I thought they were funny because I appreciated it given my great disdain for a certain woman that she was getting crap from Kristen and she was just burning her down.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I've tried so hard. It's just the truth is, like, I was thinking to myself, I've been thinking to myself about this. I'm like, okay, it'll be fine. Like, I'll like her with other people. And I just don't.
That's
you know what I mean?
Yeah, see, whereas I do like, but you know what? To my credit, and I don't know if it's just I'm just this way with most of the characters, I like Chloe with other people too. And I don't like, she gets under my skin so bad when she's around Brady.
Well, I'm not usually like this with like anybody. Like, usually I'm cool with them being in scenes as long as they're not messing with my couple anymore, which she's not. But for some reason, something about that character, I just can't. I don't even want to watch her. Like, I don't even, like, it's that.
No, it's not. She's not a well-written character. And yeah, she's a bit crazy.
I just want. Go ahead.
I was just going to say to Melissa's point about Chloe, it's like when Chloe's not in Brady's orbit.
I like her.
She was entertaining with Nicole. Like they had some rapport going on. I enjoyed their scenes.
For sure. Together. I agree with that too.
I did too. Mm-hmm. And Chloe had scenes with Belle that I enjoyed too. It's just, I just don't enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. Ladies. She's good with ladies. Like, I just don't get it. Maybe I need to see her with.
I feel like with Glenn, starting to see a more of a consistency in the writing that before it was like you'd have this villainous Gwen, but then this boohooing Gwen, and then a villainous Gwen, and then a boo. I think it's all the same Gwen. I think the boohooing is just total bull. And that's part of.
Well, for sure. That's for sure.
So I think that's kind of helped me to kind of come together with appreciating her as a character a little more than I used
that
to.
That it's all a front.
Yeah, it's all a front.
She's a stone cold bitch. That's what she is.
And the funny thing is watching her and Kristen together, they're funny because they have a weird, like, they're both villainous, but Kristen's like a lion. She's like impulsive and she just pounces or whatever. Where Gwen is like an ice queen. You know, she's just cold. And I think everything she's done is because she's so cold. And so I don't know, it's kind of now made me be like, okay, you know, maybe it wasn't bad writing, maybe it's just this is her character.
And I get that, like, I do. I just wish that I could, I wish honestly, like, I, that's why I keep saying to myself, I'm like, okay, maybe I'll like when I saw she was with Kristen, I'm like, okay, well, this will be better, she's with Kristen. And then I was like, God, I just can't stand her. Like, it's just something about her, I can't. I've tried, like, and I want to, like, I don't want to be like this, but you know what I mean. Well, sucks.
Sometimes you have that those characters you don't like. All right, let's move on to, did we get everybody with scenes? Did we get you with scenes?
Yeah, we're good.
You did. Okay, so high points. Who has a high point they want to throw out there?
I think a really good high point for this like week and honestly this show in general, and this is not just like, this is not related to anybody specifically. I have noticed that in several of the stories, we're actually seeing some stuff that's funny and not just super, like, because there was a little bit there where everything was like doom and gloom and really, 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 really. And I've seen, like, okay, obviously the Xander and Sarah stuff was funny, but so was the Alex and Chanel stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's meant to be funny. Like, it's not meant to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I've been enjoying that. Like, I've been enjoying that there's humor back. You know what I'm saying?
We need a balance like that.
Mm-hmm. And what I do you? Feel like there was some not. For a while, so
yeah, I would agree with that because we talked about that 1 week. We're like, what happened to the fun summer storyline?
Yeah, and there's been some fun stuff lately, like there's been some actual humor, you know what I mean?
So that's true. What about you, Claire? Do you have a high point?
I had two different things I liked. One was globally were the sibling scenes. So you have Rafe Gabby, you have Alex and Sunny, you have Eric and Belle. And so I just thought it was, you know, we probably haven't seen that much happening in the same week in a long time with sibling sets. I thought that was nice.
That is nice. It's always nice to see a family dynamic.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree.
And then the other one, which is, you know, an honorable mention, but I just have to say, like, I love how Sarah loves Xander and that they're back to their relationship, like, in the midst of all this, these hijinks and trying to figure this stuff out.
You're still getting to see the relationship.
You're still getting to see that they still really do, like, they've really gotten back to where they're truly about where they were before. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, she really, like, stands by him and she really cares about him. And it's interesting because I know a lot in the past, there was a lot of people that felt that she was too judgy of him. And there were times that even I felt that way. And I was always a fan. But there were times that people thought that she was too judgy of him. And I think that that's gone away now. I think that she's not anymore. And in fact, she's actually committing the crime with him. So
there you go. There you go.
Which
all right.
I never thought we'd see.
My high point, I don't know. I was just kind of mulling it over.
I have a vibe on it, as Eugene Bradford would say. I got a vibe.
I don't think it's, no, I would be surprised if you guessed this, but it was, I like seeing creepy bad Lee.
You like that Lee has
are such a villain fan. You're like a fangirl for villains.
I have to say, performer thing, and I couldn't say it because I thought he was so terrible before. I was almost thinking of him only because he did do such a transformation in that.
Well, remember when I said that maybe he really wasn't bad and it was playing
maybe it he's playing it flat on purpose? I think he was playing it flat on purpose. I totally do. So
I mean, so I don't know, but I just watching him in his creepy scenes, and he even was trying to like psych out like Dr. Rolf a little bit. You know, like, just, I don't know. It was just funny. I liked it. It was kind of a high point that, yeah, I got another villain on the team.
Yeah, there you go. Into your gallery. Can I tell you that based upon my prediction that he could be part of your La Familia, because my prediction is, it's a little out there, but I think he's Meghan Hathaway's son. And that's, remember, he took the call from his mom saying I love you. So that's my prediction, that maybe he doesn't know that she's a Demera, or and the Shins were brought in with this knowing that he's a Demera, and he doesn't know that his mother is a Demera. But I don't know, that's my prediction.
Could be.
I think that's a way to
it could be it. And I think that Remington himself being half Asian would lend to that being a
totally
thing. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen that prediction from a few people wondering if Meghan is his mother. So I think it's from that same call, though. So
yeah, who knows?
Well, all right,
I don't know what call you're talking about. So I don't know
where he called his mom.
Sorry, I thought you meant like a fan call.
So, what about a low point? What did you think was like a low point this week?
I actually.
Or do you want
one.
Me to go first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay. Mine was just, it's quick and easy, but I thought as much as the scene with like Ava and Johnny was cute, the first thing that popped in my mind was like, wouldn't she be a little more sad that like she loved Jake, even though they really didn't get married?
Oh yeah.
She
oh,
loved
yeah.
Jake. And there she is supposedly like popping into music, Jake. Whatever. She's, and I was just like, this is not how you're going to feel like 2 or 3 days after your boyfriend
great
died.
Love died. After they wrote this 5 second love story for them.
So I'm just like, if they're going to like try to make us believe that in any way, shape or form, maybe they should have held off on that little whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. And I can see that. I actually thought of that. Okay.
Well, there you go.
So mine, I know Melissa's going to agree with, but I'm going to talk about it myself, and then we'll see. Well, we can put you guys to the gallery on it a little bit. All right. So I feel like there's a lot of stories going on right now where there's like a couple and then a foe to that couple. For example, like we have Xander and Sarah with Gwen. We have Stabby just coming up with Stabby and Lee. We have, you know, there's just a few like this going around. And then we also have Brady and Chloe with Kristen. And I feel like in the other ones of those stories, like we see that the rooting couple, the couple we're supposed to be rooting for, is the one with the really strong chemistry. And the one that we're kind of not supposed to be rooting for, the foe to that, is usually that they're lower, or they don't seem to have that same kind of spark with that person. But I feel like specifically in the Brady, Chloe, Kristen one, the chemistry balance isn't right. And it's really affecting that story in respect to, I feel like Nadia is good in scenes with other people, but something about Nadia and Eric, they just don't click to me. And when you see him in scenes with Stacey, where Stacey's getting in his face, talking about like the daughter, there's nothing romantic going on in their conversation, yet you still feel like they want to rip their clothes, each other's clothes off. So like, it's like
everybody's like, is it gonna happen?
I feel like if you're going to tell a story where there's a rooting couple and their foe, you need to have the foe be the one with less, like, you can't have that kind of chemistry, or else nobody buys that person's going for the other. And I'm saying this, I saw lots and lots and lots of tweets on Twitter of people saying, oh my God, the chemistry is so glaring. Like, the chemistry difference is glaring. It's not just Melissa. It's not just Melissa. It's not just, you know, whoever. It's everyone.
Because everybody knows I'm super biased about it. But I did see a lot of tweets about that too, which made me really happy. I was like so happy and encouraged, because everybody was just like, oh my gosh, you know, the Briston chemistry was like off the charts in that scene where they're fighting, you know?
Do you think the writers are like I think their writers might even be playing into that, because like they're getting hot word was like saying Kristen, like He was getting the fact that they used the word, the name Kristen, as they're kissing each other as their trigger word for Brady to get it on with Chloe. Like, to me, that's the writer saying, like if I were Chloe, I'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, that is so, no, we're not saying her name. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know. There's just something, I think, like a wink from the, I don't know. That's
maybe. I kind of was thinking this week, like, if I were a Brady and Chloe fan, what would I have thought about the scenes this week, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I like I said, I saw a lot of feedback that the Brady and Chloe scenes were so, you know, just not there, not sparky, not, you know.
I even saw, like, Brady and Chloe fans asking why they had no romantic stuff, you know? And it was interesting because it's just, like, it's just very, like, to me, I was like, okay, if you're going to show a couple like that where you're telling a faux story, and Brady and Chloe are really supposed to be this rooting couple in it, it's really falls flat because it's not, you know what I mean?
Because they're not. Yeah, they're not. I mean, I posted that one clip where Kristen tells him to, like, shove his deal and she gets real close in his face. And oh my goodness, it got, like, well over 5,000 views in 24 mm-hmm. hours, you know?
Yeah, because they're in, you know what I mean?
So I don't know. I mean, as a Briston fan, it encourages me.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I know she's a villainess and they don't like to, you know, they like to keep her a villainess. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. There's an SOD picture where she's like threatening, looks like she's threatening Chloe with a pencil, a la Evan Freer's kind of thing. Maybe.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that one.
Not as dramatic. She's not like holding her and holding it to the eyeball like she did with Evan. Mm-hmm. But she's like holding it up because Kristen's impulsive, you know? Yeah. So he's going to say something to piss her off and then she's going to hold up a pencil. But then
maybe, you know, she's telling her, you need to take this pencil and sharpen all the pencils in the office.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to write you up.
I hate to do that, but I don't know. So I don't know, you know, who knows where they're going to go there. I don't know if it's the traditional writing and they just don't have the balance right. Or like Claire said, maybe they know that it's like this and it's something's going to be a little different.
Maybe we just don't know. We don't have those answers, so
yeah, we don't know. So did you have a low point there?
Did I have a low point? I thought this week was pretty good.
Okay,
so
what about then a ship that you're not down with or that you think is going down?
Ship that's going down. Well, I think, you know, it's not happening right away, but once you know, Gabby ever wants to go into, you know, thinks about wanting to move a relationship forward with people, it tends not to go well. So, and now that we have this reveal that Lee is behind the scenes trying to keep his hands, you know, to get in with her more and what he's holding back, it's not going to go well. So more like a predicted downship.
Okay, predicted downship. What about you?
Well, I mean, I can go with the classics that I go with all the time, which is Rafe and Nicole would be a good one. Because again, I feel like I actually saw a couple of different people say, Rafe said this week he had to go do something with his wife, and I had to remember who his wife was.
Oh my gosh, I think I
didn't remember who that was. Like, it took me a minute to remember that he had a wife.
Oh,
and then
God.
The one girl was like, and I actually like Ray Cole. Like, and that's why I thought it was funny, is I was like, oh my God, this person actually likes Ray Cole, and they said that they forgot who his wife was for a minute.
Yeah, because they totally, I mean, the writing, literally the writing is on the wall. You know,
like it is, they are just not getting any.
And it
kind of,
you know what's
like
funny? I'm glad
Rachel.
You picked that, because it ties into what I picked for my like wah-wah. I picked Eric and Jada because I feel like the writing is on the wall that it's eventually going to be Eric and Nicole. So even though they're rising in some sense,
a lot of people seem to be liking Eric and Jada. I've been seeing a lot of people saying they think they have chemistry. I'm not really particularly caught on that, but I think you're right. I think in the end Eric and Jada will not work out.
I think Eric's best chemistry is with Nicole, and I'm not even like an Eric Cole shipper, but I definitely think there's no denying that they have that chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Well, they have time, so I guess you know, it's still in the infancy stages for Jada and him. Yeah, so she has like the you know, when she talks about him, like she has that little like, oh, he's like interesting to me kind of look.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She looks like she's into him, and he might be into her, but I think ultimately,
he's gonna end up with Nicole.
It's gonna come back to Nicole. So I don't know. I mean, just recently he was ready to go tell Nicole that he still loved her, remember? And then she married, mm-hmm. Right. So I just feel like, you know,
and then she married Rafe off screen.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like maybe Jade is just a distraction, but I'm not sure. Who knows?
And then there's also the setup with the partnering of
Jada and Sean.
Jada and Sean is, you know.
Maybe they're gonna maybe Sean's gonna get to cheat on Belle instead of Belle cheating on Sean all the time. I'm not trying to be like,
no, it's true. So what about your guys's like rising or ship that you're down with kind of thing?
What you got?
Mine was a completely biased pick. I just picked Briston because they finally had scenes where they looked like they wanted to rip each other's clothes off.
Oh, I strongly consider picking them too.
And so I feel like it's the beginning of like a rise for them, even though like their words are very adversarial and probably will continue to be and maybe even get worse. Mm-hmm. But the whole, you know, the whole doomy energy is there.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not how I said it.
You have to have no pulse to not have seen that.
That the doomy energy was there. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I know that's not the word you used before.
That's not the word I used on my tweet.
But, yes, you know. It's not, but you know.
But it's there. It's totally there. So I just chose them because, because I feel like that was a big buzz this week.
Mm-hmm.
What about you guys? Did you come up with one?
I have a couple, so I was going to see what Claire picked.
Why do I always have to go first? No. I love Zara, so that echoes what I already said. I did, you know, despite what other people are some reactions about the age difference, if you just look at it objectively.
I was also thinking of Johnny and Ava. Yeah.
Objectively, you know, there was some chemistry in their acting. So
I think there was too. I would agree with that.
You know, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, no, I was definitely shocked by Johnny and Ava, and I definitely found myself going, oh, okay, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I didn't think that it would, when I initially read the spoilers that they were probably going that way, I was like, Johnny and Ava? I said, it's gonna have to be really the right chemistry for that to ever work. And then when I saw it, I was like, you know, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I could actually get behind that a little bit. I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing. I think it's probably going to be like a May-December type thing. But I mean, yeah. And I feel the same way, Claire. Like I could say Xander and Sarah, but like it's always Xander and Sarah. So like I don't want to say that. Like even though like they had really good scenes again, I said them last week. They had really good scenes again. They wouldn't be like, I was trying to come up with other, I suppose we could say that Alex, Chanel, and Allie.
Why not?
Well, they did have a good rapport, you have to say.
They did have a cute rapport. Even if
and I think more so Alex and Chanel.
Yeah.
Because they had more time to talk to each other. But
Chanel is a very dynamic character, more so than Allie, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Allie, I mean, if I had to give a low point, even though I skipped it before, I would say it's how Allie acts like she's a sore winner.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I don't know. I have not been super secret about the fact I liked both sides of that triangle. I really did. I liked both sides of that triangle, but I preferred Johnny with Chanel, actually.
Me too.
Just, like, I liked both sides. I thought that both sides had chemistry and both sides were cute, but I truly liked
Johnny and Chanel.
Yeah, I truly was more, I was leaning Johnny and Chanel. I wasn't upset that she picked Allie, but
yeah, no, I was too, but I think what annoys me a little bit is the way Allie is behaving. Mm-hmm. It's like, you won, and she used the word I won, and I just thought that was so immature. It's like, she's not a thing to be won. Like, you're with the person you want to be with. Like, it's the way they the word she used.
The dialogue should have been better. If she wanted to call him out, she should have been like, we're together now, and I don't appreciate you trying to jeopardize that.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't appreciate you trying to go after my girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't appreciate you, you know, putting my relationship at risk when...
You're my brother.
You're my brother. But something more mature, I agree, than you want.
Well, and for somebody who has a child to actually have some sort of more maturity... Like, about how she, you know.
It was very like, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, I won, stay away from me. Or stay away from Chanel now, you know? And it makes me go, okay, well, is Chanel like too mature for Allie, you know? But, yeah. I don't know.
I kind of had hoped that they'd bring on a different girl for Allie. Somebody that drew out more of the wild side. I think she just needs to go full, like, hot mess.
I thought that Lindsay was much, much better when she was the devil in that kind of capacity. Like, she's very good at playing kind of a grayer character or darker character.
Maybe they need to go a little grayer with her.
That's my opinion of her. As I have no problem. Like, I think she's a good casting. She's a cute actress. It's not her. It's the way they write Allie. And I think that Allie needs to be a little darker, maybe, or a little more something. I don't know.
Yeah, something.
But anyway, so
that's,
like I said,
all of our segments are normal segments. I know you wanted to talk a little bit, Claire, about the big peacock squid, right?
Sure. So just for background, if people are not paying attention, September 9th is the last air date for the show on NBC before it moves over to Peacock. And we haven't seen any advertising about it. We hope there is a serious campaign so that as many existing fans know how to get over there.
Because I think that the ones on social media know, but the ones on just like, I feel like your grandma who isn't on social media and doesn't really do much may not know that the show's going to Peacock.
May not even know,
You may just think her show's gone on September 9th. Like, goes to watch on September 12th, like, she may just not know.
Yeah, they need a heavy campaign, but I think it's people in the community, like, it's boots on the ground. Like, somebody needs to call their local librarian who does the tech at their library to say, when all these old, you know, older viewers are asking how to get onto Peacock, here's how you do it. And so I'll just run through it real quick. So if you have somebody in your family who's older who isn't tech savvy, set them up, add them to your profile if they don't want to do their own account. If you do an annual plan, you get 2 months free, effectively, because it's the price of 10 months, and you get 12 months if you do annual. And if you don't have a smart TV, or if your TV is smart, but it's not smart enough, you can get a Roku, right? Because I have a Samsung. Depending on when it's manufactured, it may or may not be able to download the app. But if you have an Xbox, if you have a PlayStation, if you have Apple TV, if your TV is not smart, you can get a Fire Stick or a Roku Stick, which you stick in, and it will turn it into a smart TV, and then you can get the Peacock app, and you're cooking with fire. And for people who say, I shouldn't have to pay for TV, you've been paying for TV in the United States since 2009, unless you have a digital antenna. When we switch from analog to digital, everybody's paying for cable if they have TV. So renegotiate your package, drop some stuff down, or cut the cord and move over. I mean, there's ways to do it to get to the $5 if it's too much for people.
Honest, if you cut the cord and do internet and streaming, it's cheaper than cable.
Well, you should talk about that a little, since you have cut the cord, right?
Yeah,
do you get your local stations? Can you explain that for people who don't want to lose local programming?
Yeah, if anybody really truly wants to cut the cord, what we did is we canceled cable quite a long time ago, years and years ago now, at least 4 or 5 years ago. We switched to just internet. We have just internet here. And what I have is Hulu Live. So some people have Hulu, right? Which they pay $5 or $6 or $7, however much dollars a month to watch like movies and programming. A lot of people are into Handmaid's Tale and different shows like that. I have actually what's called Hulu Plus Live. So I do get all my local channels. It's more expensive. It's like $50 a month or something, somewhere in that neighborhood. It might be more expensive now.
But I think it's 60.
It might be 60 now. It was 50 when we initially did it. So it's probably 60 now. That's in lieu of the $200+ I was paying for cable. So I am paying, like, internet by itself tends to be pricey, that you can get it for like a year, usually cheaper. So my internet is about 80, the Hulu is about 60. So that's putting me up to now what, like 130, right?
Versus, you know, I think we pay like two, we pay several hundred.
We paid, and when we did this a couple of years ago, we were paying about $220+ for the cable package. And we were still having Netflix and other, you know, whatever. Yeah. So now, of course, we have Netflix and Disney Plus and blah, blah, blah. But those are all optional. You don't have to have those. So just to mm-hmm. have like basic, the Hulu Live, which comes with a lot of channels like cable would, and my mm-hmm. internet, it is definitely a savings of at least, you know, $60-$70.
Nice. Yeah, no, me and my husband were just discussing that the other day. We have to look into like the internet. Because I know that in the past, like, our internet has been more expensive, the most expensive part of the package. So it's kind of,
yeah. You know, well, and I mean, they really, when you don't bundle, they really get you on the internet. Sometimes, yeah. Like I said, the first year we cut the cord, it was like awesome because the internet was like $35. Then all of a sudden year two went to $80.
Yeah.
But that year was really cheap because I was paying less than $100.
I saw, and I've been trying to like help people when they do respond to me on Twitter saying, you know, I don't know how to do, I can't do this. It's, you know, I'll tell them it's $5. It's this, it's that. But I did have a lady the other day say to me, well, I don't even have internet.
I had somebody say that too.
Well, I have a solution for that one. So if she has a mobile phone,
she has data.
Does and she has a tablet. Data? Right. If she has unlimited data, then she can use that as her Wi-Fi hotspot. And mm-hmm. if she has a tablet, she can view from a tablet. Because there were some people who were saying, I don't want to watch it on my tiny phone. It's like, well, then use it as a hotspot if you have unlimited data. So there are ways to get to, you know.
Yeah, I had to help one of my good Twitter friends actually to understand how to work her smart TV. But now that she understands that, my smart TV, I can actually play Peacock on it. She's doing better. You know what I mean? So it's, and we just have just to. Thing.
So we've been campaigning. We've been spreading the word.
Yes, we have. And we have our little. Our flyer, our digital flyer, yeah. Our how to.
Or if you want the digital how to of how to do it, it's Claire posted it. And if you need if you want an icon, we can make you one.
Oh yeah, the little wrap on your profile picture.
If you want a little wrap on your profile picture. I changed my profile picture. I may have messed up the file because I changed the picture.
I made
again.
A copy of the file and I've just been using my own copy.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was just like,
because I changed the Team Zara icon today and I rewrapped it. So.
Well, and so we've been calling all this whole effort to help Days Army. So
yeah, hashtag mm-hmm. Days Army. So we're hashtag Days Army and yeah, so hopefully it's and successful.
It's fan to save the free show, so. All days.
It is. All right.
We had some people that we didn't, you know, necessarily even like know or whatever want them. So that's really cool.
Yeah. I've had people. Yeah. So it's been cool. So I guess before we get into spoilers and promo and all that, I just wanted to really quickly kind of say that the news has broke. I think today that basically they officially declared Anne Heche, who got her start on Another World, one of the NBC's mm-hmm. hopes, brain dead, basically. Yes. They're waiting to kind of, I guess, do organ donation for her.
Yeah, so she was a licensed organ and tissue donor, and they're completing the donation.
And so they're completing that process.
They've declared her dead, her deceased.
They've declared her deceased. So I just kind of wanted to mention her. And just what a bright, shining light she was in the soap world. Mm-hmm. Because if you were a viewer of Another World all those years ago when she was on, she really was something special. I remember I was in high school when she was on, and I just remember my mom and I would talk about her and be like, this girl's, she's going to really go places. And of course, she had, you know, quite a long career, especially in the 90s, a lot of big blockbuster movies. And even up until recently, she had just wrapped a Lifetime movie that'll still be coming out. So, you know, we just condolences to her family and friends. And it was just a sad loss for the soap community.
Yeah, she was, I didn't personally see her I did watch a little of Another World towards the end of it, mostly because I'm younger.
Because you're younger, yeah. You would have
mostly because I'm younger, but yeah. I mean, I know that
Wait,
she
you're
was...
younger. What?
Yeah. Well, thanks.
He loves to throw that in.
It's a wrong joke.
And I'm not actually meaning to. I'm just.
I know. No, but you in 1991 when she was on, how old would you have been?
Yeah. Who me?
No. Me.
Or you? You. Yeah.
Me? How old would I have been?
Like second grade.
I was born. No. Well, so I was born in 1984, but I was born in December of 1984. So really six.
Yeah, 6, 7 years old. First roughly grade. Six okay. or seven. Yeah. Where I was like 16.
Yeah.
Right.
So. That's the difference. Yeah, you weren't
but
watching
I was in
her
college,
in Another
yeah.
World.
You, were, mm-hmm.
you weren't I was watching in... her in Another World when you were 6 years old. Whereas I, as a 16-year-old, yeah, I was... Another World was, like, very near and dear to me back then, especially.
Mm-hmm. And it was, anyway, like, NBC's other main, like, well, I mean, they had Passions, too, but they...
I think
Santa
it was,
Barbara.
Like, it was,
this was the time
was
of Santa
their
Barbara,
their long-running
too,
one, so, though. Like, yeah. Santa Barbara wasn't super long-running. Neither was Passions. But Another World was a really long running soap. It had been on for spanned a few decades.
Yeah.
I think at least 3 or 4 decades.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, it was another big soap for them.
Yeah, Santa
so
Barbara anyway, didn't start till 84.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The year I was born.
There you go.
All right. So let's just move on to wrap up here to any spoilers. Promos. The promo is the thruple. Alex taking the girls out on a date.
And I don't think
it, badly.
Based on the promo, it doesn't look like it goes well. I mean, it doesn't look like it goes bad, but
I don't remember because I was so focused on the fact that Lee and Rolf were in the promo.
Yeah,
I got
and then
the other part
the
was
jealousy
Lee and Rolf.
Part. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So
we have some interesting pictures as well. We have a picture of like Kristen threatening Chloe, which
with the pencil.
With the pencil, which Melissa already mentioned. We have a picture of Ava and Johnny hugging.
Hugging. And she looks sad. So then I was kind of like, all right, maybe they are going to make
so
her
maybe
sad
she's having like a, she's
a
having
moment.
A bad day about Jake and he hugs her. That's my guess. It said like he comforts her. Like the spoiler is Jake or is Johnny comforts Ava.
I can't even remember some of the other spoilers.
Well, maybe it's the precursor to really comforting her.
I do think that that's if the rumors are true, that's coming. It's rumors, but if the rumors are true, it's coming.
We've also have Lee pitches Kristen an idea that he says will benefit them both. That one makes me a little nervous, guys.
Well, he probably needs to.
He probably wants Kristen to help manipulate Stefan's
keep
memory.
Stefan on the on ice longer because
I mean no, yeah. I think. It's like they want to control his memories or whatever.
They want to control his memories so that like he can basically be in love with Chloe to keep Chloe away from Brady. And
okay.
she yep. can and he can keep Gabby.
That's what I think it is. And I'm like, okay, I guess it's good that it's Lee's idea, but I guess Kristen gets sucked into it too.
She's gonna be involved in it too. I mean, there's
gonna be involved in it too. But you know what? I mean, it is what it is. We've got Alex continues his deception to Sunny.
We've
Kayla
also
has
got
much-
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, Kayla has a much needed advice for Chad. Ava's buttons are pushed by EJ.
Ooh.
There is
father and son both kind of, you know.
There is a spoiler. There's a spoiler about Alex where Alex has eyes for Gabby.
Oh yeah.
And then there's one. There's also one that I saw that's Gwen Chad confronts Gwen. So clearly something happens there. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe the information that Xander and Sarah are uncovering.
Plus the information that Leo is going to give next week. Because there's also a big article in Soap Opera Digest about how Leo's going to basically say he knows who killed Abby. And he's going to reveal who that is. So.
Okay. Well, and you know what? My mind just went blank. I had a whole thought that just fell out.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. My own. I don't know what it is. Sorry. It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
I don't know.
Deal.
Any other spoilers? No. Yeah.
Not that I know of.
I know. I just came. It came to me again. Didn't somewhere we have a spoiler that they were gonna Gwen? No. Xander and Sarah were going to try to get Ava to roll over on Gwen.
That was this. That's this week. That was already happened, and it
but
didn't happen.
But that doesn't happen.
They haven't done it yet.
So all the spoiler specifically said was Xander and Sarah strategize to figure out how to get Ava to roll on Gwen. And then so, it was the episode we already saw.
Which really did not make sense.
So that's actually
the description from the episode that aired. That was the episode that aired on Friday.
I didn't think that that happened yet because I was like, well, they talked about it, but they haven't actually tried.
So it was Xander. The spoiler for Thursday's episode was Xander and Sarah strategize to figure out how to get Ava to flip on Gwen.
I remembered we have nothing
for them coming up this next week. Spoilers for them.
The only flipping they did was of each other.
On the bed, yeah.
They flipped
each other around a lot on the bed.
There you go. Well, then I think that's pretty much it. And we'll see how this next week goes. Mm-hmm. And stay tuned. And that's it. You have anything else to say? Anyone have anything else to say?
The day players are having their dates in September, which is Wally Kurth, Carson Boatman, Eric Martzeloff, and
Brendan Brush.
And so they're in like the tri-state New York area, and apparently they still have tickets. So
are you close to that area?
Very close.
I am closer to one than the other, so I'm really close, like within a half hour.
Are you gonna see them?
I don't know, I might think about it if you can. Yeah, right? they're having it in like a comedy club, so it's a small setting.
Fun. I bet you it'll be fun.
Yeah,
I'm actually in Philly that weekend, but I can't go
because you got too much going on.
I'm actually in Philly that weekend, but my it's my husband's 40th birthday, and we're having a party, and that's why we're in Philly. And I'm literally only in Philly from Friday until very early Monday morning.
Yeah, so it's busy. Too busy. Mm-hmm. Well, should be a good time, whoever does make it to that. And
Support all things days. There you go.
I'll support anything. I'm trying to make everything. I just want the show to live. So
I know. And there are a lot of events coming up too. Starstruck has a whole bunch of events. Samantha's Friends is coming up in October. They do have one in New Jersey.
You might have to come back to the homeland.
Yeah, right. I know.
They just added Teo.
I know.
I tagged a few people on Twitter.
I was like, oh, there's some people that need to know this. Yeah, they added Teo.
Teo sweetened it for me a little bit. I was like, nah, I don't have any desire to go to that one. And then I was like, oh, but they added Teo. Oh.
I like when they have a mix of male and female actors. I don't like when it's
so
all
far
dudes.
It's all four dudes. It's all five dudes.
I like getting the female, like.
And it's funny because they don't tend to book them. I've noticed that. They tend to be like even like the Samantha's Friends events, they usually only have one or two females and a bunch of guys.
The Starstruck one I'm going to, the Jekyll Island, which has been like postponed twice, so it's like finally gonna be happening in December. That one actually has a lot of females. That one has like Stacey, Marcy, and Emily.
Oh, cool. I want to go to that event, but I can't.
So I can't go to that one.
I'm excited. I love Jekyll Island. It's a cool location.
I believe that.
The hotel is really cool. It's like stepping back in time.
All right. Well, we should wrap and not just talk about
these events.
Well,
anyway, so that's it, everybody. And have a good rest of the week.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Claire.
Thank you so much. All right. Have a good night, guys. Bye.